Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, this is Abe Thompson with New Cyber Frontier. I'm coming to you from the SecureSet campus here in Colorado Springs. Today's guest is very unique and very exciting. I have today the creator of the Cyber Hero Adventures. His name is Gary Berman. It's quite a unique deal. Defenders of the Digital Universe. Gary Berman, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, obviously, very interested in this cybersecurity comic book that you've put together in this comic series. My goodness, tell us how you got here.
Well, it's quite a story, and I think the way I would characterize it is I'm kind of like the Forrest Gump of cybersecurity. In that I'm probably the least qualified person you've ever had on your show.
Run, Gary, run!
up until a couple of years ago, I knew a little bit about technology and nothing about cybersecurity, but a lot about what it means to be the victim of a series of APT insider threats.
Wow.
That covered well over a 15-year period. And as the CEO of a small marketing company, I had about 100 employees, like layers of an onion, started to uncover this incredible, FBI called it a conspiracy to essentially clone my company and my entire corporate and personal identity by my right-hand person and some other insiders, and basically I went from being a millionaire to penniless.
Wow.
And so I'll fill you in on about that as we continue our discussion.
Wow, Gary, that's a common tragedy, and I was talking with a guest on an earlier podcast just about the reality that so many have literally had to close their doors, because of cyber breaches and the inability to recover, and that trust factor, as you've experienced firsthand, I'm terribly sorry that that's happened to you, but it's clear that you have not sat on your laurels. You've recovered and then some in terms of becoming an advocate for security and defending our identity, one of the most precious things that we have.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, and that is my mission. One of the things that I've been privileged to experience is to get to know you and people like you. And one of the things I've learned is that the only time you hear about cybersecurity or hacking is when the bad guys win.
Sure.
And so I wanted to do something about it, so I decided to dedicate the superhero comic as part of my pivot from being a victim to becoming an advocate. And so after a tremendous amount of listening and learning, I came to the understanding that, people like you, people in cybersecurity and law enforcement and the military and academia and in the private sector toil in anonymity to keep us safe at work and at home and even at school. And I wanted to find a way to say thank you and to shine the light on all the good work that is done. And as part of my mission, we want to keep the universe safe by distilling complicated cybersecurity and technology information into superhero comics that are digestible for, you know, the majority of people.
Well, I would definitely say, Gary, on behalf of our industry, we are greatly humbled by your efforts and your focus there. And I really think, you know, your work can become a tool not only to kind of highlight the cause of these behind the door workers, but also really educate the public on the importance and need for good cybersecurity and the fact that there are people out here that are willing to fight the good fight. Let's take a brief moment, Gary, before we continue with this story to go to our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And this is Abe Thompson with the new Cyber Frontier here at SecureSet Campus here in Colorado Springs. I have the distinct privilege today to have on the podcast Mr. Gary Berman, who's the creator of Cyber Heroes Comics. And Gary, you've really kind of touched my heart in your appreciation for what's done in this industry. And it's really neat to now have the chance to hear your perspective and kind of look at what you see on the horizon, what you've learned through your unfortunate journey that you've decided not to remain there. You've turned this into a victory, definitely you sound like an individual kind of driven by hope and, you know, very positive. So tell me, Gary, you got hit by all this. You've learned a lot of lessons. What is it that you'd like to see changed through your work?
Well, I appreciate that question. You know, my story is unique in that it lasted well over 15 years.
Wow.
And right under my nose, you know, and as CEO of a marketing company, I really didn't know. And then as we started to, you know, discover, I realized that this wasn't just a hack. This was an attempt, a successful attempt, unfortunately, to clone my company. This is a known hacker. He's a tech contractor of ours that did this. And basically, they spoofed our website. They redirected incoming telephone calls to their systems. They pretended to be whistleblowers and called all my big clients, saying that I was under investigation by the FBI to cease all communications. There were 19 attack vectors, you know, into our computers. And they even had 36 people listening to my automobile through a hacked OnStar account. So, you know, it's an incredible, not believable story, actually, which is why I decided to take pictures and make videos of the evidence. And then dealing with law enforcement was an incredible experience just by itself. While we were not able to receive justice through the legal system because of lack of attribution, Justice Brandeis once famously said that sunlight is the best disinfectant. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to shine a light on cybersecurity, you know, as an issue. And you and everybody else does this, but to pivot from being a victim, because it's exhausting, to becoming an advocate, you know, and turn something bad into something good. And so I got into it because I got a book called Cybersecurity for Dummies. And I said, okay, perfect. You know, let me start reading it. And about 10 pages in, I was lost.
Oh, dear.
And so rather than giving up, I found the authors. He's a great guy, Rick Howard from Palo Alto Networks. Mm-hmm. And I got him on the phone, and I told him that story, and he started laughing. And I asked, why are you laughing? He said, well, it's not really for beginners. it didn't take much of a marketing, you know, leap to understand that why do you call it cybersecurity for dummies? And that's when it hit me. It had to be a better way.
Sure.
To educate, you know, large companies, small businesses, law enforcement, the military. And so I didn't know anything about comics. So I went to a Comic Con. I'm not sure. Have you ever been to one of those?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, SecureSet has a booth there annually here in Colorado Springs. It's a great demographic, great group of folks.
Yeah, so I'll have to check it out. But, you know, I had never been to one. And I was in the parking lot walking to this kind of convention center, and this girl dressed in green with antennas and giant butterfly wings came over and gave me a hug. And so right away, at the very least, I knew I was overdressed in my jacket and my shirt. So, you know, I took off my jacket, and I literally, like, entered this whole world. You know, and it was like sensory overload. And, you know, at first I didn't know what to think. And as I just walked around and I talked to some of the folks, I realized, I mean, this is just beautiful. You know, these are people who are expressing the individuality through their passion for the characters, you know, that they love and the stories, you know, that motivate them. And I was going to stay only for 1 hour. I ended up staying 6 hours. It just blew my mind, you know, the whole superhero ecosystem and the whole world. And so I started to create a comic, which is not easy, I have learned.
Sure.
Because what we were attempting to do is to strike this balance of creating a comic that's entertaining and engaging, yet still credible within the cybersecurity or technology ecosystem. And so the approach that I took was beginning really with LinkedIn. I put an early draft of the cover of the comic on LinkedIn, and I asked people to please send me blinded stories of real-life cybercrime, answering, you know, what happened, what were the consequences, and what were the lessons learned. And as of last time I checked, I guess about a month ago, I had around 21,000 connections on LinkedIn. And these are some of the most important people in technology and cybersecurity and stuff. And so I listened and learned from real life cyber heroes. And so we launched the first edition, and I was able to sign 3,000 copies at DEF CON.
Wow. Great.
So that's sort of the background. But like, what would I like to, you know, see happen? I think one of the untapped opportunities within the country is the nation's veterans. Mm. And I know that there are a lot of initiatives to get veterans into cybersecurity, but the problem is that it's just really difficult to get started because you need, you know, 5 years to get your certification and things like that. And so I'm very passionate about veterans because of the service that they and their families, you know, provide to our country. We already know that they're service-oriented. You know, they're the good people, they're the helpers, they're the defenders. So is there some way to just give them a little kind of start? And so what I'd like to see is, thinking of doing just a 45-minute presentation, like I do at conferences, and to train veterans on how to give just that basic presentation that uses characters and animation, and it's really cool. And once they get trained on it, which should take, you know, a day, then they can go to the communities throughout America and charge $250, and then you get to keep all the money.
Nice.
So it supplements their income. So that's something I'd like to see. And if anyone out there is interested in collaborating with, you know, let's do it. It shouldn't be very hard. You know, the other thing I think that, you know, is kind of untapped is this pipeline, you know, of talent, you know, which the veterans are part of it. And so I'm finalizing a joint venture, I think tomorrow, with something called Comic D.
Okay.
And it's, you can go to comic-bee.com, And it's this super cool comic creation platform, originally funded by a DHS grant that is tied to the NAST framework.
Oh, great.
And so it's got this, you know, fantastic, you know, kind of pedagogy, you know, behind it. So it's a real, you know, curriculum. And, you know, by having children starting with, you know, middle school and high school and universities and even corporate America for sure, you can, the teacher can determine the information that they want to communicate and make sure that, the learner gets it. And the learner then gets to use the part of the brain to create, you know, stories. And these stories, you know, can be branched. So, like, let's say if you're going to, create a short password, and then what happens, you know, there, and then you come back and here's the better password, what happens there? And then, so it really exercises their logical part of their brain, their technical part of the brain. But then the cool part is then they get creative. So it's all drag and drop. You know, you create, it starts with stick figures, then you have demographics, you know, all around the stick figures, and you put them in scenes, and I'd like to see the whole education system in America adopt Comic B.
Well, it's a fascinating idea and definitely worthy. Let's take a quick break and listen to our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. This is Abe Thompson, your host here at SecureSet here in Colorado Springs. I have on the podcast today the creator of the Cyber Hero Adventures, Mr. Gary Berman. And Gary, you were just talking about how you'd love to see this sort of Comic B learning platform implemented across our schools. What have you seen in the students that really indicates to you that they're capable of taking on this technology challenge and then not just taking it on, but excelling?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, in terms of this particular platform, there's already empirical research that shows the effectiveness, you know, of it, of communicating complicated technology and cybersecurity information to middle school kids. I think the greater kind of question is, you know, how do we get kids taking STEM? And I know this is, you know, widely understood and known, but I think comics is a pretty cool way to do it. And what's good about that, too, is you can do that with parents, right? Because, you know, a lot of people like superheroes.
Yep.
You know, if you look at the, you know, 7 or 8 superhero movies that have come out this year, they're breaking box office records. So, you know, how cool is that to use superheroes as a way to communicate and to educate, you know, people, you know, beginning with middle school and high school, as I said, you know, on and on. So I think that's a pretty big deal. And the other big thing that I've gotten, you know, I'd like to see is also widely known, because that's how I learned it from listening to folks like you, and that is this notion of diversity and inclusion. You know, having more women, you know, in cybersecurity, which is, you know, widely known, I understand. So what we did is about half of our characters in the first edition are women. About half of them are diverse. We have veterans in there. We have disabled people and stuff. And I think you know, sending that positive message about diversity and inclusion is something we're doing in our comics. We're working on the second edition right now. The second edition is going to be entitled Follow the Money. and it's going to be all about financial services, you know, and because, you know, it's such an important part of critical infrastructure. And just while on that topic, we're going to be doing 8 positions, 1 per quarter, over the next 2 years, focusing on 8 sectors of critical infrastructure.
That is just fascinating, and I absolutely concur that this will draw in, you know, a new audience even to learn, but also really increase the effectiveness. And I've been talking with others too. How do we reach ladies when they're younger and attract them to this industry, which has seemingly been so, well, it's clearly been so male dominated, and this may be another way to change the discussion that much earlier and attract these brilliant minds to join us in this endeavor.
Yeah, and I think, you know, starting at a young age is the way to do it. But, you know, we can do this at any age, you know. And I think what comics do is they just kind of touch a different part of a human being's, you know, brain and if we're lucky, their hearts.
Definitely.
And that's where change happens. That's where motivation happens. That's how you unleash the power of people. You know, you have to have people's brains, but you also have to have their hearts behind it.
Oh, clearly.
And I start every morning without an alarm clock at 4 a.m. You know, I don't do it on purpose, but I get up and, you know, I just at 61 years of age, I have a privilege of talking to people like you and to listen and learn from some of the smartest people I've ever met by far, and to turn it into comic books.
That's fantastic.
I'm the luckiest guy around.
Well, and you know, clearly you enter each day with enthusiasm and a gusto because you've got a mission and a purpose, and greatly appreciate that. You know, as we're kind of hearing about this, and I know we've intrigued many in our pretty vast audience. Can you give us a snippet of a story in the comic book?
Sure. Well, in the first edition, it was actually my story.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
You know, I explained what I told you a little bit earlier. Then we have a second story, also true. Submitted by a senior person from the U.S. Department of Treasury about business email compromise, and the CEO, this accounts payable, you know, woman gets an urgent request by email from the CEO who's at a golf tournament and who spontaneously decided he wanted to donate $50,000 to his favorite charity. And it was all spoofed and set up, and unfortunately, she sent the payment. Of course, on Monday, the CEO comes in, and she says, "Oh, I sent your payment. What payment?" And everything hits the fan. That's when they call the cyber heroes to set a trap, to set a honeypot trap to catch the fisher. You know, we have anthropomorphized real-life hacks into creatures. So we have the fisher and this character has, you know, a harpoon, like for a whale, you know, also has a spearfish, also has a regular fishing rod, you know, we have a Wilbur WannaCry, you know, to talk about and educate readers about ransomware. We have the ID thieves, you know, to educate people about identity thieves. We have Boris the Bug, who talks about bugs and burning the virus. So, you know, we took all the real hacks that you deal with, unfortunately, and we anthropomorphized them into characters, having these big battles in cyberspace and stuff.
Fantastic. Now, to do like Dr. G and Super Agent K, do they kind of go through in the episodes, or do you have new heroes emerge in each publication?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So the first publication that you're, you know, referring to essentially is an overview of the whole effort. So we have a couple of real life stories, but then we introduce these characters with just words describing them. By the way, these are all real people.
Yeah.
I you know, we draw in real life people, you know, and they give us their real life origin stories, like how did you get into it, you know, and just that process, by the way, has been just so humbling and fascinating, you know, on how people get into cybersecurity. You wouldn't believe the stories that I've heard from very, very powerful people. And they're happy to share them, you know. And so in the first edition that you're referring to, Super Agent K is actually a real life guy from Samsung.
Wow.
He's very senior in the organization. I met him at a conference, a cybersecurity conference, and he was asking about my story. 2 weeks later, he was at my home with one of their senior engineers, kind of vetting what I was talking about. Because remember, this wasn't just computers. This was, you know, hacking of phones, you know, SIM card hacks, Bluetooth hacks, things like that. So this was a very comprehensive series of attacks. And so they came to my house, because now I'm working out of my home, to vet my stuff. And by the time they left, they decided to set up a test, and they gave me free, very expensive equipment to see if it could help stop the hacker, which it could help.
Wow.
So we put his origin story, you know, Spider-Man kind of got bit by a spider, and you know, you have to have the origin story of the characters. And so his origin story is actually in the first edition. In the second edition, we're beginning with the characters, myself and my wife, and nobody knows that, although you do now because I'm coming in on the podcast. They my wife's going to kill me. That's a different story. So, you know, we begin, you know, these two characters are exhausted from what happened in edition one, and they say, great, let's go on a vacation. So, okay, great. So they go and find a vacation, and they go to, you know, they're trying to figure out how are we going to pay for this. Because, you know, we lost everything. And then light goes off, and let's use our bonus model. So they go to Universal Airlines and see that there are 0 points in their account.
Oh, no.
And, of course, they go to customer service, and then I educate the reader on how hackers steal, you know, bonus models and things like that. And then the problem that hackers have with stealing, you know, bonus miles or reward points and things like that is how to monetize it. So I introduced a new character called Gold Mini Box, who's actually undercover at a real dark web kind of hackers meeting, and she told me this true story that she went into this hackers, you know, sort of meeting, and there was a station where this big sort of guy with like a motorcycle guy, you know, asked her, would the little lady like to try to pick a lock? And they had all these locks, you know, on this table. So she looks at them, and she goes, she reaches up into her hair, which was in the bun, and she pulls out a lock picking tool. You know, which is standard practice for, I don't know, some government organization. And she proceeds to pick all these locks, puts the lock picking thing back in her hair, and she says, yes, the little lady would like to try, you know. And so she told me that story, and that's why we call her Gold E Locks. So then she takes us in the second edition, which will be released in the first quarter. She then takes us back to kind of the origin of money in the United States, like the gold rush of the 1940s and 50s. So there are a lot of similarities between the gold rush then and the gold rush now. Like, you know, there were people who mined for gold. Now they mine for data. Or there were pioneers then, and they're pioneers now. There are, you know, in Western movies, could not tell a good guy from a bad guy except the color of their hat, you know. And so there were white hats then and black hats then, and we have the same thing now. And so they are mining for gold. They take their gold and they put it in these canvas bags, and I call them gold in sacks. I should be laughing at my own stuff, but I think it's pretty funny. So, you know, golden sacks, you know,
oh,
and
dear.
They go on a state, Yeah, so they go, then they go on a stagecoach, you know, which is how they used to do it, to take it to, you know, bank or whatever. And then there's the first hack of a telegraph. And that's the first technology hack, you know, where these black hats hack the telegraph line to find out the arrival of the stagecoach, and there's this battle. And then they all end up in Wall Street and modern day, and they are, you know, confronted with the bull that's in front of the New York Stock Exchange. And so all these characters are now saying, what is all this? You know, what is financial services? You know, what is banking? What is credit card? What is fraud? What is ID theft? You know, what are skimmers from, you know, ATMs and all that stuff? So we educate the readers on all that stuff. And then the last part of the second comic is we are celebrating them, and we're having the first ever Cyber Hero Adventures Awards, you know, Gala Awards. And so all the good people, the good characters, you know, go to check in, and they pass through the scanner, which then gives the origin story of the character.
Cool.
Your life stories. Yep. And then, but there's a back door, which has a double meaning, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the hackers, you know, come in and go through the scanner, and then you see the origin of the hacks. And then there's this final big battle, and I won't tell you what happens.
So, well, I will definitely be looking forward to read it. Gary, unfortunately, time is running out here. We're definitely going to want to have you back on the show. Again, just very touched and honored to see the focus of your story, and to also see the passion inside of it to ward off these attackers and these cowards, basically, on the dark side. And so it's been our pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks. And, you know, people can go to cyberheroescomics.com, you know, to download a free edition. By the way, I donate all this. I don't charge anything. If we're lucky, maybe we can get a sponsor like, you know, AT&T or Microsoft or something like that. But, you know, I haven't made a penny in 2 years, just so you know.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing, and it's very meaningful work. This is Abe Thompson with the New Cyber Frontier. We've had the privilege of being with Mr. Gary Berman, the creator of Cyber Heroes Comics. And I definitely would go with a lighter step today, just thinking there are folks like you out there. This is Abe Thompson here at the SecureSet campus here in Colorado Springs, signing out on the New Cyber Frontier.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.